Well, hello, everyone. Welcome back to episode 4 of my Marketers Podcast, or Marketing Rambles by James Podcast. So, super stoked that you're here. Thank you for taking the time to listen to me ramble once again about a topic in marketing. So, this week, I thought I'd take a moment to discuss audiences. So, last week was an interesting topic and a sort of perspective of me and how I hope to grow my brand and my business, and kind of starting from nothing and being someone that's particularly unknown. Nobody knows who I am yet. And I hope that changes over time and this brand grows and everything is hunky-dory, kind of my interpretation of Behind the Diary anyway. So if you missed that one, check it out. It's in the show notes below. And if you continue on this playlist, you will find it. Okay, so episode 4. So today, I want to talk about audiences. So when it comes to marketing or business, audience is really important. And the reason for that is because, like, it's going to sound really stupid, and I apologize, I'm not insulting your intelligence, but what it is essentially without an audience, you can't do much. But with an audience, anything is possible. And quite a few people I follow online say the same thing. So it's kind of, without an audience, it's like you're talking to no one and you can't sell to anyone. But with an audience, anything's possible. And you sort of see these crazy stories of people growing these massive audiences and then their product just absolutely goes crazy. I think a good example of viral marketing at its peak, despite the product, and I know there's a lot of talk about how this product is and what it's about and the quality of it, and I won't go into it because I don't want to get involved in anything like that, but what I want to say is Logan Paul and KSI and their Prime energy drink, their Prime hydration drink, I should say, like, that is a great example of how you can take an audience and absolutely destroy a market with the reach that you've got. So for all of the things that people say and all of the kind of stuff around the product, which is, it's not important, but from a completely marketing standpoint, I mean, it was kind of like a, let's blow open this marketplace and get the product there. And I mean, it just went completely off the chain, kind of huge. So this week's all about audience and how having a large audience doesn't necessarily convert into sales. And we all ultimately, as entrepreneurs and business owners and solopreneurs, we want an audience that buys. Why? So the theme of this week is why most solopreneurs are chasing the wrong people and how we fix it. As someone who is growing a business themselves, and you can kind of see how this is progressing from behind the scenes, I want to share more behind the scenes kind of content about what I do and my thought process and stuff, but that will come with time. I'm kind of just getting my bearings, as they say. I'm in the UK, we kind of just say, like, you know, if we're getting our bearings, tishism, I guess. Anyway, I think this is a really relevant topic, because when you're kind of building from nothing and you are trying to get your brand out there, an audience can, it's not necessarily about the size at the beginning. I mean, kind of an audience, kind of the quality of the audience. So a great example is my partner. She has a photography business and she has a relatively small audience at the moment. But the great thing is that all of those people are sort of validated, verified individuals, if you will. So say you had like a specification for the kind of person you want to work with. That's who's in her audience. So there's like a whole bunch of people that have crowded around what she's doing. And each one of those in their own way is highly relevant and will convert eventually if that's what they want. So if they eventually want the product that she offers, they will convert. And the reason they'll convert is because they're surrounded by other people who are the same. If you had 1,000 people that were really passionate about what you're doing, and each person paid you a small amount of money each month, you're doing really well. I can see the kind of the upside of having a huge audience online, and I can also see the downside. Downside being there may be more people there that are more kind of window shopping than anything else. So if you can kind of validate, so what I'm saying with all of this rambling is if you can validate the kind of person that is following what you're doing, then you are on the right track. So if you can kind of say like, look, I think this person is right for me and my brand. And the more of those kind of people you get in your sphere of influence, the better. Because it's all well and good kind of having a viral audience and huge reach and all of that. But if kind of only 10% of them might want to work with you, then you kind of, it's a little bit like the saying in business where it's like turnover is for egos. I hate the turn of phrase. I think it's a bit strange, but that's what people say. You know, it's like a turnover. So you can almost say like, you know, I've got a turnover of audience of 10 million and it's like 1 million of those are relevant to me. So today I'm calling out the silent killer of business, and that is the wrong fit audience syndrome. So as I explained, the wrong kind of person, big audience, the wrong kind of audience for the right kind of business, I suppose. So the business is perfect in every shape, but the audience is just not the right person. It's a little bit like that with websites as well. So when you grow a website and you get these people and they're like, you know, I'll grow your website with X many thousand visitors a week and stuff like that. And most of the time it's just nonsense because they are sourcing traffic from places that are completely irrelevant and have nothing to do with what you're up to. So in my day job, for example, the website that my company has, I've positioned it in places that I know that our target audience hangs out, and it served me very well. And it was validated by our sales manager here, who said a lot of the conversions and traffic that we get and sales inquiries come from the website. So that basically tells me that those people are highly relevant despite the cost to place those adverts in the places that I've put them. Those people are validated as important to us. So if you learn anything from what I've said so far, it's that you need to try and get the relevant person into your audience and sphere of influence. And that can be done in so many ways, from doing things locally. So, you know, you could go to a group of people. So I'm just trying to think of the right example. So the one that comes to mind at the moment is photography. So say you are a photographer that does house photography or something like that, and you want to get more business working with real estate agents or something like that. Where should you go? You should go to real estate events. Why? Because all of those people are doing or involved in the thing that you're interested in. And those people could potentially be your customers. If nothing else, there'll be an audience for you. So they'll validate what you have done in your work and your portfolio, but they'll also become part of your clique and your tribe. And that's what it's all about. It's building a tribe that love you for one reason or another, but they need to be relevant. So if they're not relevant, it's a little bit like, oh, but I'm not saying don't have people. I'm sorry, this is getting very ranty. So I'm not saying don't have people that won't ever become customers, because there are people that just like to be entertained by whatever it is that you're offering. And there's nothing wrong with that at all, but it's just being aware that none of those people may become customers. And you kind of want the right percentage of people that will convert. Okay, yes. Don't get caught in the vanity trap. Number two, I guess, I've not really bullet pointed this time. I usually do sort of five things. I'll do five things. So this is number two. So that one was number one. It's about don't get caught in the wrong fit audience syndrome. Number two is the vanity trap. So for all of the statistics and all of the reach and all of the exposure, it's all just fluff unless somebody buys from you. I'm sorry, but that's the way it is. It's a little bit like, once again, it's like my analogy, turnover is for egos. I guess not so much reach, but visibility and popularity could be considered as vanity. Because we all want to be loved, you know? So it's kind of one of those things. So yeah, so if your calendar's empty, but people are loving you, then there's something kind of wrong with the whole thing. So it's a bit like me. So say I had a video and it went viral and everybody was like, oh my God, that's the most amazing thing anyone's ever said about marketing ever. And I got millions of views and only like two of those people wanted to work with me. That would be the worst conversion rate ever in the history of the world. It would be exactly what we've been talking about here, which is the vanity metrics. So it's like, you know, a million people saw my stuff, but only two people wanted to work with me. That's like kind of, it says, okay, I'm either not very good at communicating, which I hope I'm getting quite good at it right now, or it's just that they weren't relevant, most of them, which would be a shame and a tremendous loss. So a couple of things, a couple of pointers for trying to grow when you are building an audience. So number one, so this could be classed as 2.1 in this five-step list. Serving peers, not prospects, trying to sound too professional, and posting just to be seen. So all of those things can be fixed by being authentic. So if you're doing anything online that's social or people-focused, be as authentic as possible. So I can only really reference myself because I don't want to make anyone feel uncomfortable. So if I put myself into context with authenticity, this is me. I'm wearing casual clothing because that's how I feel comfortable. And I'm talking about marketing because I love it. Yeah, authenticity. And I want to share with you because I want you to win in your business with marketing because it's so difficult. I mean, there's so many people that talk about it in complex ways that don't really go anywhere. Kind of like, I mean, at the moment, AI is a big trend. So everyone's like, oh, AI is killing search. But thing is AI is not killing search. If anything, AI is making search get better for everyone. Where businesses fit into that is things that we need in a more conventional sense. If anything, things have kind of gone to the places where businesses fit in has become more of the grassroots kind of things people were searching for. So like locally, I would say it's a good example. So AI will never replace the kind of local business in context of where you live. I think, so like, for example, you want to go and eat some food. Okay, so for those businesses will never get lost off search because there will always be relative to person searching. So someone searching from London looking for fish and chips will find the best fish and chips restaurant. And that place will be earned as I think as time goes on. I reckon the emphasis on earning the place in those local searches will become more important. And that's where we can use our human intuition to get around this AI like onslaught that we are facing right now. So I would say if there was anything that I could help a business with right now when it comes to this AI movement is, I told you I was going to get ranty, is that AI will never replace human communication and networking. So what will become more and more apparent is the importance of connections. So if you want to grow your business, the relevance on search has kind of been lessened. People are searching more and more than they've ever searched for things. They're asking direct questions now. That data has now been exposed. I mean, if you saw the news recently, you know that ChatGPT accidentally exposed a lot of information on the internet, which is gold for anyone who is trying to build a profile about the person that is going to be a customer of theirs. But it's also a huge privacy risk. But that has since been patched up. I'm led to believe from the news outlets that followed what happened. But what I'm trying to say is networking and stuff like that has never been more important when you're growing. So vanity metrics aside, because that's where people are becoming stuck, is they're so obsessed with this whole thing of reach and all of that kind of stuff. There's a lot of things to be said about actually communicating with people one-on-one and stuff like that. Like I would say some of my best interactions so far with my business, for example, have been where I've used people in my network of influence, people I know and people that I know might be quite interested in working with me. I've even spoken to them in person or something like that. So the human aspect going forward with marketing is going to be highly important. And I may be alone in this thought. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe people are assuming that it's going to be this whole AI future. And I think when people are getting obsessed with this SEO death, as they're calling it, they're kind of viewing it as the be all and end all of business. And it's kind of interesting that I haven't seen a dramatic loss of traffic to the website from my day job. Some of the things that I've done previously have kept the thing going. As I said before, I've got some paid kind of advertisements in some highly relevant places, which has meant that the traffic has stayed consistent. this is the whole kind of thing about vanity metrics. You don't want to get caught up in it. You want to kind of try and create this evergreen traffic situation where you're always showing up in the places that your people are hanging out. And the more and more as things change online and stuff like that, the more relevant this is becoming. Because, I mean, people still read newsletters from blogs. They still go to the same places, industry-specific places, to get their news and insights and stuff like that. And if you can show up in those places, your traffic won't drop. I'm not saying you have to spend a lot of money on these things. Sometimes you can get them for free and stuff like that, which I have done before. And it's this kind of niche, industry-specific. And again, human connection, you know, you build the contact, you speak to them, and then you get to the point where you want to share and you benefit each other and stuff. Anyway, that's quite enough on step two of this rather long podcast, because I've only got step two and I've got five to go. So I hope you're enjoying it so far. Anyway, so number three, buyer signal shift. So signs that someone is a real prospect for you. So they ask deeper questions, they engage less, but they are faster at engaging with you. So when they engage with you, they come on pretty strong rather than just kind of a little bit. They value your specifics and not your brand glow. So they are interested in you specifically. They have done their research and somehow they ended up with you and they decided that they loved talking to you and what you're about and that kind of thing, your values resonated kind of thing. That is one way you would know that someone is a true prospect. So again, this whole concept of audience. So this week's all about audiences. Yes. So here we go. Quick tip. So tracking where your leads come from. So I had a question recently where someone had put sort of an relevant advert in a gym and their business was highly relevant to the people that go to the gym. And I was asked, they said, what do you think? And I said, are you tracking the advert? And they sort of went quiet. And I said, okay, there's no tracking. And they were like, well, what do you mean? And I said, well, with all manner of advertising nowadays, you can track what you've done in some way. So this person had created an advert and it was in a gym and they had no way of telling if what they'd paid for was going to return any investment for them, like return, become an ROI, they couldn't measure it. So the long and short of it was, is I asked them, I said, you know, let's look at your advert and let's change it. And they said, what do you mean? I said, well, we can change it. We can add a QR code to the advert. And then within the QR code, we can embed a Google tracking URL link. So provided you're using Google Analytics, and I advise everyone who's trying to go anything to get the two things. So get Google Analytics and get Google Search Console for your website. And once you've got them both installed and working properly, you can do all sorts of things. So you can pour through the data that you've accrued over time. But staying on point with this story that I've got. So when you've got a QR code and you embed because you can embed a link in a QR code. So someone scans it and then it takes them to a place on the internet. So what you want to do is you want to add the UCM code at the end of at the end of the URL that you're trying to track. So say the advert in the gym was going to a product, you want to send people to that product page, but that product page link needs to be embedded with a UTM tracking code. And then what that does is you can then identify that those people came from that particular advert at that particular time. It won't tell you much about the person unless Google is able to identify that for one reason or another. So if they've got themselves signed into their Google account or whatever. But what it will do is it will tell you how many hits you got on that particular advertisement. I'm not saying that people don't go out of the way and pick up the phone and phone people, but it's a pretty strong chance that if you remove all of the other stuff that people can type into their phones and stuff, and they just have a QR code, they will use it. And it's becoming more and more useful. It's becoming more and more of a thing that people do these days. They like to use QR codes and such. And it's more accessible than it's ever been. So, off on a bit of a tangent there and a bit of a ramble. Yeah, so identifying someone that's a real prospect. So that brings me to that. So if you have one person in that week of running your advert that becomes a identified prospect, and you know they will be if they've scanned that QR code and you've been able to track their process and their journey with you. So I highly recommend that everybody tries that. I'll hope to make a video at some point showing what I mean, because I think it's a really, really cool tool and it's underutilized. And it's helped me a lot because it's made me figure out which pieces of, for example, real world media, so stuff that's been printed, it's helped me figure out which of those things have been relevant and valuable to me and my marketing budget within my role. And I hope to implement those things in my business as well, because I think it's a really great idea. Okay, so I think we're probably getting to the point where we should wrap up this because it's getting rather long. But what I want to stress is kind of how important it is to try and get the right person to be your brand. So let's go on with number four. So number four is, So one way you can attract the right kind of person to you is you can create within social media platforms and the like, you can create ways for them to interact with you. So that could be things like using forms and surveys and stuff. And the reason you'd want to do something like that is because you can then, from the content that you put out, what people are interested in, and they will tell you. And I encourage people to find these kind of things and try and generate that kind of data, because you can then take it and kind of run with it. So I think what I'm saying for this fourth and kind of final point on my rambles about marketing and audiences and stuff is the more information you can gather about people and their interactions with you, the better. So I think number four, when it comes to audiences and building a marketing around your business, is to kind of try and identify as much information about that person as possible. And it's becoming harder because of GDPR, and I think the other one's CCPR or something, the California one, and all of that, and tracking cookies and things. But what will always stay true is people will at some point divulge the information that you need. For all of these privacy protections and things, there will always be breadcrumbs, so to speak, of things you can use to identify them. And the more of that you can find, the more you can kind of adjust your campaigns to suit. So I think there are technologies out there that bypass the whole cookie and like sort of data obfuscation sort of stuff aside. I mean, I won't kind of go into brands and stuff like that, because I don't necessarily want to point you in the direction of any of them just because of my own opinion. But what I will say is that there's technologies out there that enable you to track businesses by IP addresses and stuff like that. So you would know that a business has approached your business online because their IP address won't have changed. So they will have been on your website and you'll be able to identify what company that is. And then you can kind of, using that software, you can then sort of approach those people in your own way. Number four is trying to gather as much useful information about your audience as possible without kind of overstepping. And it's so easy to do. And in some ways, it's also hard at the same time. I mean, my country, in the UK, we've just rolled out this whole thing with age verification. So if your content is anything remotely what would be deemed as inappropriate for younger people, it's just going to change because people are going to have to verify and stuff to view. So yeah, things have changed a lot, I would say, in the last 6 years. I mean, I remember the time before GDPR and things like that, you know, everyone was like, oh my gosh, you know, GDPR is coming. And the more and more these regulations come through and stuff, the harder it will become to track things by conventional means. There will be new ways of gathering that information, and I can almost assure that will be the case, because people need to try and figure out who is visiting their website, who is interested in their products for whatever reason. So we're kind of, whilst we're worrying about that kind of thing, you've got sort of big tech kind of consuming big data and all of that kind of thing. So we're in a kind of an odd time from a audience building and information gathering perspective. On the one hand, we've got these rules and regulations that are coming faster than ever. And then on the other side of it, you've got huge tech companies consuming masses and masses of data that some of it they shouldn't have access to and they do for whatever reason. When you're building your audience, then go with the kind of human connection angle. So you want to kind of validate as many of those people in your sphere of influence in your tribe at all times. So you may have 1,000 people following you, but you want to kind of look at those 1,000 people. Say you're on Instagram, you want to kind of scroll through your list and kind of go, okay, is this person going to be of interest to me? I mean, we don't all have time to do that. So, but what I'm saying is you kind of want to just have a try and understand who those people are, because you will benefit and reap rewards from only engaging with, because we don't have a whole ton of time. You know, we don't have oodles of time to be talking to people, and we don't want time wasters. You know, I know people do reach out because they're curious and things like that, but we don't want to be wasting our precious business hours and life kind of explaining ourselves. I mean, one of the biggest pain points that I came across in the early days of marketing, the company I work for, is people would just ask questions about why we even existed and things like that. So I'd spend sort of 20 minutes kind of explaining what the point of certain things was about what we do. And some people would be offended by the kind of company that we are and stuff like that. And you kind of just end up justifying yourself and things like that. And we don't want that. We want to keep things nice and simple because we're all busy people. And we don't want to waste our precious time explaining everything all of the time. If you've learned anything from today's ramble, it is that we should be super clear about the kind of people that are in our audience. We don't want thousands and thousands of people that don't actually support you. And you can allow for some of those types of people, but we don't want the wrong fit audience syndrome. At the same time, we don't want to get caught up in the vanity of everything. We may feel like we're progressing, but our sales might say something different. And I mean, it's kind of funny because sales and marketing can cross over. And Jordan Belfort is a great example of where validating a prospect can be useful. I mean, if you've ever seen his video about selling the pen, where he says, sell me this pen. And he'll say, you know, people don't necessarily validate the person before they make the sale. So it'll be like, you know, sell me this pen. And they'll say, you know, the pen is great and it's this and it's that. And I had it today. Someone was trying to sell me an energy deal or something. And he had no idea whether I was a decision maker or anything. He just didn't ask any questions. So this is where the overlap happens between marketing and sales. Because you can, as long as if you ask questions to people, it doesn't have to be sales-like. You can just kind of ask them questions. And then you can either pitch your products or decide whether you want to work with them. And you can also figure out whether they are someone that should be in your audience or not. And that's kind of it. I mean, for those of you out there who've seen the film Wolf on Wall Street, you'll know, you know, it's, yeah, there's a lot to be said for that sort of connection with people. Okay, yes. So key takeaways. If you've been building for likes and trying to pivot to leads, yeah. So if you found this valuable today, I think what would be cool is if you're watching on YouTube, leave me a comment, tell me what industry you're in, tell me what you're struggling with. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, leave me a nice review. Say whatever you want. If you don't like the podcast, tell me that too. I really appreciate the feedback and the engagement, but I hope you got a lot out of this. And yeah, I mean, I think it's really hard to grow audiences nowadays with all the different platforms and mediums, but it's just trying to kind of understand where those people are and how they can engage with you. I say kind of last thing I'll talk about is like platforms. Platforms have a certain kind of person, an audience on them. If you are growing a certain kind of brand, you want to kind of exist on the relevant platform for you. You can exist everywhere if you want, but it doesn't normally work out very well because most of your messaging gets lost. So I think if you're doing anything kind of modern and sort of customer centric, you know, you can do Instagram, things like that. TikTok has got a really unusual way of growing views. I mean, views are such a huge vanity metric on TikTok. It's just absolutely crazy. It's like you hear on Shark Tank all the time where they kind of go, oh, I got 1 million views. And they go, how many sales? Then they go, 10. And they're like, oh. And then the deal ends. Then, you know, business to business, people say LinkedIn, but
I don't know. Jury's out for me on LinkedIn.
I think business to business, yeah, probably LinkedIn. But it's a certain kind of person and niche as well. I mean, you can do business to business on Instagram and stuff like that too. You know, you don't have to do that specifically. But yes, final thoughts. I'm a coach. I have an email list as well. If you want to join, it's free. No obligation. You can learn a bit from me each week, or you can work with me. If that's something you're interested in, we can talk about what you're struggling with your marketing, and we can move you along in the right direction. So I'll leave it there. I'm James. Thanks for listening. And yeah, happy growing your business. I hope the next few months are prosperous for you. And yeah, thank you for taking the time to check me out.